Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate that. Emily, thank you as well. Let's go to Acts 16 in our Bibles. Acts 16, verses 8, 9, and 10. Thank you, ladies, for the beautiful music tonight. 8, 9, and 10. We'll take a moment, let you find that. We're going to stand and read these three good verses. Picking up the story here, we will go back and take a look at some of the previous verses as we get into the message. But for the reading, verses 8, 9, and 10, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. Would you join me on verse 9? And we're reading now, Acts 16, 8, 9, and 10. The Bible says, "And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Help us tonight, O Lord, in these moments, please. Give us that liberty that only Your Spirit can bring to a service, to bring the message You put on our heart tonight. Pray it be a great help to people. God, Your book, Your word, Your truth sets people free. And I pray that it'll be a blessing tonight to many hearts in this room, if not now, later. And I'll thank You for it, God. Thank You for the good music we've enjoyed thus far. Thank You for the good slide presentation. I pray that You'll bless Brother McMurtry. Now be with the music, the song. Prepare our hearts, please, for the message. In Christ's name I pray.
Jesus came, glory to His name. Oh, what a friend is He! He so freely gave His own life to save from bonds of sin set free. Old-time religion in my heart, it's way down inside. New kind of feeling in my heart, where true joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me. Old-time religion in my heart lay down inside. What a joy to know one who loves us so. He so kind and true. He has changed my life from all sin and strife. He'll do the same for you. Old-time religion in my heart, it's way down inside. New kind of feeling in my heart, where true joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me. Old-time religion in my heart, away down inside. Sinner, won't you now to Him humbly bow? Just let the Lord come. To me, nobody knows but my Lord and me. Old-time religion in my heart, away down inside.
Good singing. Thank you so much. Enjoyed the good song tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. That was a blessing. I want you to look at verse number 10. I want to show you two words in this verse that we're going to take and make as the theme of this message. Look at verse number 10. About halfway through, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering. There's confidence there. There's some confidence, some knowledge there, certainty to that. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. I want to speak tonight on the subject, moving ahead in God's will. Give me a good listening tonight, and if it doesn't apply to you now, it will someday, but it applies, I'm sure, to many in our church at the present hour. Moving ahead in God's will. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the word of God, your word. I pray that you'll help me tonight to preach it. And Lord, give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, and give us a listening ear. May the Holy Spirit have a good work in our heart tonight. We'll thank you for it. We need you. We depend on you. Bless, I pray, these moments in Jesus' name. And amen. There is no peace like the peace of being in God's will. None whatsoever. The assurance that comes from knowing that at least for the moment I am doing exactly what God wants me to do is a blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Brother Tommy, there's no uncertainty in your presentation. There's no uncertainty in you, your family, about what God has called you to do. There's an assurance there, and that's a blessed assurance. You're not going to this maybe with a doubt. You know for sure. Now you see those two words in verse 10 there, assuredly gathering. Now Luke is the human pen of this book. At times he is with the Apostle Paul and the traveling missionary group. At other times he's writing based on his knowledge of what happened when he wasn't with them. You can see the change in how he writes in verse number 8. He uses the word "and they" passing by Mysia. When you get to verse 10, he says immediately "we endeavored." So it was obvious that at that point right there, Luke joined this group in Troas and headed on with them from Troas. And Luke's testimony in verse number 10 was that this group assuredly gathered, that God wanted them to go to Macedonia. Now, there is that assurance I'm talking about. Assuredly. Assuredly. The root word is, of course, assure. It means to make certain or confident. So this is what Luke said. Luke said, as we gathered together all that had happened and what had taken place, we became certain or confident that what we were about to do was the will of God. And folks, that is a blessed assurance. A blessed assurance. I'm in the process right now of trying to come to that place about the thing I mentioned to you folks on Wednesday night, an opportunity just out of the blue this past Monday through a phone call where a ministry that's been used over the years to support missionaries around the world, getting the gospel out to folks needs a home, and our name came up, and the phone call was made and said, would you take this mission project on? It's significant, and it won't be any more money to us, but I am in the process right now gathering information. I've been on the phone this past week several hours, and gathering information that will help us or help me discern, is this the will of God for Faith Baptist Church? There's no assurance like the assurance that you're in God's will. That you're in God's will. There's nothing more frightening than to believe you might be out of God's will. That scares me to death. So I'm in the process of doing that right now, of trying to assuredly gather the mind of God about this thing. Now, before they left to go to Macedonia, Paul and his party were confident. They were certain that they were in the will of God. Confident. Certain of it. Now, there are times when determining the will of God for our lives can be a bit difficult. But I am convinced of something. I'm convinced that God does not make it difficult. I don't think God plays games with His people. I don't think He plays hide and seek, you know, catch me if you can type thing. Rather, in some way, you and I make it difficult. We don't mean to make it difficult on purpose, but we do. Sometimes it's our humanity. And we do battle that, don't we? It's our own humanity, our own fears, our own shortcomings that make us sometimes, it makes it difficult to find the will of God. But God doesn't make it difficult for us. I want to help some tonight who are there right now. You are at that place where it's a little difficult to ascertain God's will. You couldn't say like Luke, I have assuredly gathered enough of the mind of God and what I know has taken place and what has happened to know that I'm in God's will. You can't say that right now. Some of you that are facing some decisions, and I want to be a help to you tonight and maybe a help to some who sometime in the future will face that same situation. You will come to the place in your life where you'll have to make a decision about, is this the will of God? Now, let me say this before I go into the lessons that I want to give you tonight from this passage. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 says that you and I can prove. Prove. What's the word mean? It means experience. Experience. You and I can experience the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, friend, let me ask you a question. Who wouldn't want that? The good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. If you were shopping for a car and somebody could have the ability to convince you that this car is good and acceptable and perfect for you, you probably would stop right there and buy that car. Why would you want to look for another car? If you were shopping for a house and you had a decent realtor, that lady needs to be fired, man, I'm telling you. It's crazy. And somebody could convince you through what facts and so forth that they had that this house was the good and acceptable and perfect house for you, you probably would buy it. You probably wouldn't look for another because that's what you want. Now, people, let me say this tonight. There is a life that is good and acceptable and perfect for each one of us. Who wouldn't want that life? Who wouldn't want that? It's available for each one of us. Just think about this. I'm not going to preach on this, but look at these words. Good. That word, it means what it is. It means good. It means valid. It's good. There's validation to it. Tell you what, some people are living life that has no validation to it. None whatsoever. Valid. Good. Look at the word acceptable. It means pleasing and agreeable. And then you look at the word perfect, and it means complete. Nothing left out. Nothing missed. Wouldn't that be a great life? A valid, pleasing, agreeable, complete, nothing left out, nothing missed life. And Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that that was available to every one of us. We can experience or prove that for our lives. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, Luke said that this missionary party assuredly gathered that what they were about to do was just like that. This was the will of God. It was good, it was acceptable, and it was perfect. And Luke said, we assuredly gathered that. Again, there is nothing like living with that knowledge when it comes to life. So what can we learn here from these folks? Quickly, number one, if you want to write it down, they were currently in God's will. They were currently in God's will. Look at the last verse of chapter 15. Paul wrote, the Bible says this, Paul chose Silas in verse 40 and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. We won't take the time to it, but you read through the beginning of chapter 16, and Paul meets Timothy. That was a great crossing the path of a great young man who became a real blessing to Paul, and Paul became his mentor. So Paul meets Timothy, and the churches were established and helped, not only in quantity but in quality. And they went to Phrygia, and they went through Galatia. And the Bible says they were forbidden, in verse number 6, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they're in God's will. They're on this missionary journey. Do this. Don't do that. Do that. Don't do this. The positive and the negative of the will of God on this missionary journey. They were current when it came to God's will. Now listen carefully. I know you've heard this before, but everybody needs to hear it again. It is impossible to discern God's will for the future if you're not already doing God's will for the present. It's impossible. Impossible to discern God's will for the future if you're not currently doing God's will in the present. By the way, that only leaves the past. What about the past, preacher? Well, the past is past. It is behind. It cannot be relived. So don't let it inflate you, and don't let it deflate you. It's gone. It can't be relived. It can't be brought back. But now, current, today, today, I can be in God's will today. And if today I am in God's will, I stand a whole lot better chance of being there tomorrow if I'm in God's will today. Now, that being said, there are generalities about God's will that apply to each one of us. It's God's will for us to be saved. It's God's will for us to be baptized. It's God's will for every Christian in this New Testament dispensation to be a member of and involved in and serving through a local New Testament church. It's God's will for us to have a Bible and to read it, to pray, to honor God with our tithes and offerings, to witness, to be in a good relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be in a good relationship with our authorities in life, to love God, to love His Son Jesus. Those are some things that you and I, every Christian, should be current on week in and week out, week in and week out. Are you currently doing God's will? Are you currently doing God's will? A lot of times young people will come to the office with questions about their future and God's will for their future. I don't have a crystal ball, and I'm not going to act like I do. I don't know God's mind for these young people. You know where most of my time is spent when young people come to ask me about their future? What are you doing now? Are you right with your mom and dad? Are you obedient at home? Are you honoring your folks? Are you reading your Bible? Are you having devotion time? What are you doing today? Are you in God's will today? They were current in God's will. You see, folks, when you and I fail to do those things, we make it more difficult to know what God wants next. Because the Siamese twin of knowing is doing. They're Siamese twins. Jesus said it this way. He said, if any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. Knowing and doing are Siamese twins. It is nigh impossible to know God's will if you are not doing God's will. So my first admonition tonight from this passage, from the Word of God, for any in this room who are trying to discern God's will for your life, you want to stay in God. You want that good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. It means something to you to be in God's will. The first question is, are you in God's will today? Are you current in God's will? Because if you're not current in God's will today, you're going to have a difficult time finding anything else about the future. That's the honest truth. They were current in God's will. Number two, they came to a crossroad in God's will. Now look at verse number 7. So that right along in God's will in this missionary journey, they're very current with what God wants them to do, not to do. They come along, the Bible says in verse number 7, at the end of the verse, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, they came to a crossroads in God's will. They obviously came to a place, Paul and his traveling companions, they came to a place where they said, we want to go this way, and God said, go that way. So you know what it became? It became what I want versus what He wants. Now, you know what that is, folks? That's a crossroads. What I want versus what He wants. That is a crossroad in God's will. The flesh says, I won't, and God says, I won't. It is a critical spot. There are times when exercising what we want over what God wants can be easily corrected. In other words, we can exercise our will over God's will, and the consequences may be minimal. The fallout may not be too difficult, and it may be easy to get right back into perfect will of God. But listen, at other times, to exercise our will over God's will is extremely costly. Extremely costly. And I don't have time tonight to go into a lengthy Bible study, but I'm convinced, I've told you before, I'm convinced with all my heart that we are where we are today in this country and have enjoyed what we've enjoyed for all these years because Paul came to this crossroads in his life and he obeyed God instead of what he wanted. And the gospel kept going in a westward direction. It's an unbelievable thing when you look at it, study it through. This is a critical spot. It is a crossroads. And the only way to be safe when you come to a crossroads in the will of God between what you want and what God wants, what I want, what God wants, the only way to be safe is to die to yourself. You've got to die to yourself. It's imperative. I've said before, reuse the illustration tonight, that I've used before in this pulpit, but you know, when it became apparent to me that it was God's will for me to, as Brother Tommy is doing. I didn't go start a church, but it became apparent to me that I was to leave Marion Avenue, where I had been for 7 years, and go and be a pastor. And I had never had that thought, never had crossed my mind. But God did that. And we began to stir my heart for that. I was talking to an assistant pastor not too long ago. You know, it's not that anything changes in the church. It's not that anything changes in your relationship with the pastor or the people. It's just that God stirs the nest. It didn't feel right. It's just not as comfortable as it was before. It's just not as the eagle stirs the nest, so the Lord does the same thing for His children. And so the nest was just uncomfortable. And it became very apparent to me that I was supposed to go and pastor a church. And I remember saying, I'll go wherever God wants me to go. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, I'll go wherever God wants me to go, west of the Mississippi, where there's not been a church with 56 other churches nearby, not a huge town, a church without a Christian school. I had all these stipulations. Verbally saying, I'll go wherever God wants me to go. When Brother Thomas and his family were at Jordan Baptist Church up here, a candidate there had a 100% unanimous call. All six of them said, yes, come. No, I'm just teasing. It wasn't more than that. I think it was like 78. It was like 70 in the 70s. Like, it was a unanimous call. And I called him and said, I am not coming to Jordan Baptist. I'm sorry. I appreciate the call. But I know God wants me west of the Mississippi. I will not be east of the Mississippi. I will not be in a major metropolitan area. I know what God, I was saying that I was dead to myself, but in fact I wasn't. You know what created that? You know what that created in my life? Frustration. Every time the phone rang, I jumped out of my skin. Who's calling? Who's calling? Who's calling? Who's calling? Frustration just built. I heard about this church in August of 1989 through, I think, either Dave Smith or Keith Gomez. Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais needs a pastor. Are you interested? And it was east of the Mississippi. And it had a Christian school. And there are other churches in the area. And I knew that's not what God wants for me. God wasn't directing my life. I was. I said, no, man, I wouldn't go there. My life depended on it. It's not God's will. That was August of 1989. March of 1990, I went to Montana. I spent a week out there with my good friend, Brother Gene Blackburn. We surveyed, I don't know, five or six towns in Montana. We surveyed a town over in Cranbrook, Canada, in the British Columbia area of Canada. I forget what it was. 100,000 people in that town. In the Rocky Mountain range of British Columbia. You talk about jaw-dropping beautiful. And those folks were driving 150 miles one way to Brother Blackman's church. And they said they'd like to have a church in their town. We surveyed all of that. I came back convinced that I was going to go to somewhere, Missoula or somewhere, and start a church. I went out to my brother-in-law's church out in Maine to preach for him. And just somehow in the message, voiced my burden and went home to the house. I think Ben was with me. I went to the house with their kids and Sally and so forth. Steve stayed behind. And then Steve came and he said, man, sit down. He said, I got news for you. I said, what's that? He said, Brother so-and-so in the church, excuse me, heard you talk tonight, and he told me to tell you that he will put $30,000 in the bank for your family, and he'll put $30,000 in the bank for the church anywhere you want to go in Montana to start a church. He'll bankroll it the first year. You talk about excited. That's it. That's done. I was flying home, told Joyce we're moving to Montana, going to finish out the end of this school year, move to Montana, start a church out there. And it was April. It was April, the first 2 weeks, probably the second week in April, maybe the third week in April. We were having breakfast on a Monday morning with her mom and dad at Hardee's. And John told me a devastating story. And just to put it bluntly, the whole deal was off. No money. Man, I was at the end of my rope. I spent the rest of that day just miserable. Went to bed that night, got up and had my devotions, and as clear as I'm talking to you right now, it dawned on me, Terry Angel, you are not dead to yourself. you've been saying with your mouth that God can tell you whatever He wants and you'll do it, but you put stipulations on God? I showered and put my tie on, got in the car, and I drove to the Washington Cemetery, right south of town, not too far from Brother Brown's house. Got out of the car and spent an hour walking around and around that cemetery and prayed to God and said, "Dear Lord, this is where dead people come. And the best I know how, I am dying to my will right now. In this cemetery, I am burying Terry Angel's will, and I will go wherever you tell me to go. All the stipulations are off, dear God. I hope I haven't missed it already, but whatever you want me to do, the stipulations are gone. My will is dead and buried in this cemetery." And I meant it with all of my heart. If I was sincere, I meant that. I got in the car and drove to the church, walked up that big old flight of stairs, and the secretary, Mary Bender, handed me a note and said, "Call Joe Griffin, Faith Baptist Church, Bourbonnais." Called Joe. And the next Sunday I preached here. And the next Sunday I accepted the call to come here. Now folks, listen very carefully. I would hate to think where me, I look at that boy sitting out there in that third row tonight who I love with all of my heart. And next Saturday he'll take a wife that he met in large part because this family, our family, moved to Illinois. Not a happily married daughter up in Elgin with two little boys, happily married because we moved to Illinois. And all the contacts that have been made here, Ben going to Oklahoma City, was all because we moved to Illinois. And Brother Vineyard and I renewed that friendship that we had over there. How's that? I'd hate to think where my family would be had I at that crossroads not decided, I've got to die to myself and do what God wants me to do. Are you listening tonight? When you come to that crossroads in your life, I mean you're currently in God's will, and you come to a crossroads, and maybe you've been saying, like I've been saying, you know, I want to do what God, but secretly you've got your own agenda, you've got your own will, because you've got all these stipulations. You've got to die to all that and throw it out there for God to do whatever He wants to do with you. And I'll promise you, friend, remember that He said in His book, it is good and acceptable and perfect. It will not hurt you to die to yourself. But sometimes it's not easy. And it's not sometimes fun. But that's what must happen. They were current in God's will. And they came to a crossroad in God's will. I won't has to die if you're going to find God's will sometimes. I won't. Has to die. Number three, and I'm hurrying, and it's not much longer. Number three, God communicated His will to them through His Word. God communicated His will to them through His Word. Look at verse number 9. You notice, you know the story. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Now look, this was in the day when the Word of God was not yet complete. It was still being given from heaven to earth. The last book in the Bible had not yet been completed. It was not all together. And God communicated in this day through visions. You know, you read the Bible, hopefully, I hope you do. Many people, God communicated with them through visions. And in those visions, He communicated His will to them. He gave vision to so many folks in the Old Testament and vision to so many folks in the New Testament. And He came to Paul here and He communicated His will to them through those visions. Now listen carefully. In those days, the visions were equivalent to God's Word. We have the completed canon of Scripture today. Because we do, there are no visions. And if you're waiting for God to write this in the sky, if you're waiting for God to put it on a license plate of a vehicle, if you're waiting for every semi going down I-57 to say the place or the thing you're going to do, if you're waiting for some of this visible things that so many people get wrapped up in, it's not going to happen. This is not the day of visions. This is the day of a completed canon of Scripture that is inspired and preserved for us. It's a living book. And God communicates His will to us through His Word. Now, you won't read a verse that says, "Thou shalt go here." There's no verse in this Bible that says, "Thou shalt go to Bourbonnais, Illinois." If there was, we'd all be here. There's no verse in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt marry him." Thou shalt marry her. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt go to college here. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt work there or work here. But reading God's Word keeps your heart in a condition where God can and God will speak to you. The psalmist said, Psalm 119, 105, thy word, your word, God, thy word, not some vision, thy word, not some dream, thy word, not some enticing presentation, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And isn't that what we need? Don't we need light? To see clearly, to make decisions, to decide. You see, friend, when a Christian abandons God's Word or deprioritizes God's Word, they place themselves at great risk. They stumble at noonday as if it was night. They grope like a blind man for the wall. God's people shouldn't live like that. God's people who are in His Word and God can communicate to them through His Word. They live, they see clearly, they know, they can find out. It may take some time, occasionally. That's what's happening right now. Not this thing I got to decide about. I'm trying to assuredly gather and decide. The worst thing in the world I can do right now is quit reading my Bible and look for some sign in the sky to do this thing. That's nuts. Folks, you put yourself at great risk when you deprioritize God's Word. Stay in His Word. Are you trying to come to a decision about something in your life? Are you current in God's will? Are you current in God's will? Are you at one of those crossroads? Again, not every decision in God's will is difficult to recuperate from if you make the wrong decision. But sometimes they are. And they can be costly. If you're at that crossroads, have you died to yourself? Have you buried the I want to? And say, God, whatever you want. Are you in God's Word? Because God's Word, He uses His Word to communicate His will to us. And let me say number four tonight. They confidently moved ahead in God's will. I like those two words, assuredly gathering. Assuredly gathering. They weren't uncertain. They were not in doubt when they left Troas for Macedonia. They knew they were in God's will. I'll tell you what, Luke and Rick and Elizabeth, if you walk down that aisle or stand at that altar to receive a bride with any doubt in your mind, man, that's wrong. That's not good. That's not good. I'm simply saying tonight, look, folks, there is a blessedness in knowing you're in God's will. Knowing, assuredly gathering. They were confident, they were certain when they pulled away from the moorings in Troas to go to Macedonia that this is not some self-whim thing. This is not just something we've created and invented ourselves. This is God. The Lord has called us to this. You see what I mean? They moved the confidence. Let me show you why this is so important. Okay? Let me show you why this is so important. Because look, we have this false mentality that as soon as we determine God's will and do it, God reveals it by complete peace and calm. And everything is just warm and fuzzy. Oh, this must be God's will. Because I feel so ooey. Warm and fuzzy. Well, let me show you something. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, okay? We're not going to go back to Acts. Remember now, they've left Troas for Macedonia. Remember that in a few weeks or months, maybe a couple years, I forget exactly what it was, they'll end up in Corinth, okay? Because they went to Macedonia. Now, look at verse number, chapter 7, 2 Corinthians, and look at verse number 5. Now, remember, they left Troas for Macedonia, okay? And Luke said, we assuredly gather. We're in the will of God. We know it. Now look at what happened in verse 5. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Were they in the will of God? Yes. Because they had assuredly gathered. They were current in God's will. They came to a crossroads. Paul buried his self-will. And God said, this is what I want you to do. And confirmed it through His Word. And when they left Troas, they were assuredly confident, certain it was God's will. And when they got to Macedonia, which was God's will, they had all kinds of trouble. They had fears within. They had fightings without. That demon-possessed woman there in Philippi followed them all around the streets of Philippi, causing all kinds of trouble. They end up in the Philippian jail. Does that sound like warm and fuzzy to you? That doesn't sound like warm and fuzzy to me. Look at the next two words in verse number 6. Nevertheless, God. Nevertheless, God. You see, there was something there when they got to Macedonia and immediately began to have trouble, immediately began to be pressed in the Spirit, immediately began to have fears within and fightings without and all these problems. There was God was there to comfort them and to reassure them and to give them that certainty that they had left Troas with. This is my will. It may not be easy, but I am here with you. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. That's reassuring. That's reassuring. I accepted the call to come to Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais in the last Sunday in April. I think it was that Brother Joe announced to the church that I was coming. And we set to finish out the school year for the kids and move here at the end of Memorial Day. I didn't have a place to live. We were loading the trucks on Memorial Day. It came down to the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday before we were to move. I didn't have a place to live. On Friday night, I was supposed to preach at Cecil Ballard's. Where he wasn't there. He wasn't the pastor then. Bob Parker was the pastor at Grace Baptist Church, and I was supposed to preach there. Commencement exercise on the Friday night before Memorial Day. Friday morning, I was in the office. My office is empty. Everything's off the shelves. I'm putting the last few things in the boxes that are in the office. This is it. This is my last bus breakfast. This is my last teen activity. This is my last Sunday morning. This is it. We're moving to Bourbonnais on Tuesday. Loading the trucks on Monday and going on Tuesday. Brother Brown comes, knocks on my office door, and he says, man, and Brother Brown, he's high energy all the time. He said, Brother Terry, get on the phone, man. And he said, I called so-and-so this morning, and just a minute ago I was talking to him, and I mentioned to him that you're going to Bourbonnais, and he wants to talk to you. He's a former pastor of this church. And for the next 20 minutes, he reamed me out. What in the world are you doing, man? Why are you going there? Why are you going to Bourbonnais? Why are you leaving Brother Brown? Why are you leaving Washington, Iowa? What do you think you're going to do? Those folks are going to just sit down. They're not going to do anything. You're going to go there and waste your life. That's what I want. This guy was a respected national voice all over the country. And he's just ringing me out on the telephone. And he said, well, he said, I suppose it must be God's will. You're blind to all the trouble that's there. Hung up the phone. Brother Brown came back in the office. He says, hi, Brother Terry, look, you stay right here Sunday morning. I'll get up and tell the people that you're not going, and they'll be happy that you're staying, and you can resume right like you are. And this is 2 days before we're packing the trucks. The rest of the day, I'm just, I got to meet with Dan Woodward in Iowa. He's taking over the bus ministry. We're supposed to drive together to Grace Baptist Church. It's his home church years ago. And I'm supposed to talk to him about the bus ministry. I got to prepare the message for the graduation commencement. I put about 2-3 notes on paper. My heart wasn't in it. I didn't want to go preach. My wife and I drove with Dan and Mary Jane up there to Cedar Rapids. I don't think we talked one second about the bus ministry. I was sick in my heart, sick to my stomach. Got on the platform of that graduation exercise. There was 5 or 6 preachers sitting in that graduation. 5 or 6 of them. And during the special, I came that close to leaning over to Bob Parker and saying, Brother Bob, I can't preach tonight. Get one of these men here to do it. I can't preach. And the Spirit of God said, you can't do that. So I said, okay, Lord, here goes. I got to the pulpit, and I don't know what happened that night. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't know what came. I don't know what happened in that room. But I'm going to tell you what. Nevertheless, God. We had an old-fashioned service. When Brother Brown and his wife pulled out of the parking lot, she said to Brother Brown, I have never heard Terry any better And he said, you never heard less of Terry than what you heard tonight. That was a wise statement. Because it wasn't me. It was God. And you know what that was, Brother Tommy? That was God comforting, and that was God just saying to me, it's okay. It's all right. You go. And then Sunday, Donna Griffin called, and we got a place to live. We packed the trucks on Monday. We moved here on Tuesday. Some of you folks helped us unload that stuff over there. And now 21 years later, here we are tonight in God's perfect, good, and acceptable will. That's why it's important. That's why it's very important that you nail down assuredly gathering. You see, they could move ahead in God's will because the anxiety, the stress was settled before they left Troas. And when they hit Macedonia, here came all this difficulty, but they knew. And God was there. Everything was fine. Philippian church was built. Thessalonian church was built. Corinthian church was built. Probably a church in Berea. You know what that's called, folks? That's called God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Now, I know you want that, and I know some of you folks who are in a struggle right now to decide and discern God's will for your life. I know you want that, and I'll promise you that is a very simple but biblical approach to this thing right here. Are you current in God's will? If you're at a crossroads, die to yourself. God will confirm His will or communicate His will to you through His Word. And then you can confidently move ahead in God's will for your life. And once you do that, once you're able to do that, that's a blessed assurance. I'm in God's will. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't sit down and say to kids and even adults who come to me and say, this is what God wants you to do. Now, there's some generalities I know, but I don't know the specifics. But I want to tell you something, friend. I know this. There is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you, and you can be in it. And there's no better place to be in all the world. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll please make this message a blessing. I don't know who needs it, Lord. I just pray that You'll help it to be an encouragement, a help, and a blessing to so many people. And if not tonight, when they need it down the road, would You use it and speak to their hearts about it. And I'll thank You in Jesus' name.